Well, this morning we are kicking off our Pastor's Choice series, and we're going to begin with a bit of a game. I need four adult volunteers to come up on the stage and play the game Catch Phrase. First four, come on up. Otherwise, it's just awkward silence for the next 30, 35 minutes, so that's fine. All right, come on up. Got two. I'd like two gals if we could. Well, Phil, Ken, both of you come up. That's fine. You guys stood up. Let's do it. All right. You guys are going to be around the table here, okay? All right, so we're going to have Phil and Vaughn on the same team. Ken and Josh on the same team. Yep. Exchange pleasantries, you know, that kind of stuff. All right, so here's how the game works. There is a phrase or a word on that card. So Vaughn is going to go first. He's going to try to get Phil to say the word on the card. Now, Vaughn can't say the word that's on the card. Vaughn also can't say, for instance, if the word was tree, Vaughn can't say rhymes with free. Okay? Vaughn's going to keep his gestures to a minimum. Okay? It's not charades. It's catchphrase, all right? Once Phil gets the word, we go to the left. It'll go to Ken. He'll pick up a card, that kind of thing. I've got the timer, the buzzer. You have a mic as well, all right? Any questions? Whoever has the card when the buzzer goes off, that team loses, the other team gets a point.
How much time do
we get? You know, the buzzer kind of varies a little bit, so... You know, you might be able to hear it get faster as the time is running out, kind of like... All right, we good?
Yeah.
Go.
This is a brand of deodorant, body wash. Towards men, it's an...
somebody put money in. It's on you. It's on you. Yep.
Good.
This is how you walk around when you want to be really quiet. What do you walk on?
Your toes.
Well, what? A little more. Yes.
Dang it. You put this together. It comes in a box. It has a bunch of, what are the individual puzzle
pieces?
Yes.
Go faster.
Sheep. They roam around in...
Herds.
It did another.
Oh!
Flock.
Flock. That's a hard one. Yeah, you can kind of see through them. Try your best not to cheat. I don't know whose bright idea was to put on a white cardstock. But sorry about that. All right, Vaughn goes again. Josh and Ken, you guys got a point.
Okay, so achoo.
Achoo?
Achoo. Gesundheit.
Bless you.
Oven.
Okay.
Okay. No. Put it in the oven.
Brownie. Cookie.
Another word for oven.
Range.
Another word for range.
Field.
Blank pipe. Blank pipe.
Blank pipe.
Blank pipe. You got one of the words.
Stove top.
One word.
Oh, man. I couldn't give it to you for stovepipe. Ken, do you do a lot of cooking at home? Or? Yeah. You got to go again. All right, 1-1. This one will break the tie. Last one. Here we go.
Sweet.
Sweet candy.
Sleep.
Snooze.
What you do during your sleep? Sweet.
I'll count that. Go ahead. Phil.
This is the thing that is in your car that produces electricity. Yep.
Jeez, that was... Okay. It's a small branch, a small stick, you'd call it. It's very small. When you step on it, snap it. Yes.
Ooh, on. Getting tight here.
Okay, football game. The quarterback calls to call the play. He calls the team together to call the play.
Good.
Computer device.
Oh, man. iPod. Hey, give these guys a hand. Oh, stay up here. Vaughn and Phil, you're our winners. You guys get the book. Ken and Josh, there's some donuts maybe in the back for a parting prize. All right. Yeah, awesome. All right, well, thanks, guys, for doing that. Amazing how much fun you can have with the Word. Well, we celebrated New Year's on Friday, and one of the popular things to do around this time of year is to make a New Year's resolution. Research says over 87% of us will make a New Year's resolution around this time of year. That's over 206 million American adults that'll make some sort of resolution. Fortunately or unfortunately, more than half of us will fail on those resolutions before January is even done. So that's given way to some rather creative memes and images on social media about New Year's and resolutions. This is a list of all my New Year's resolutions I actually think can happen. This cartoon, what exactly is a New Year's resolution? It's a to-do list for the first week of January. Probably my favorite is the gym picture, right? The picture of the gym on New Year's Eve. No one there. Picture of the gym on New Year's Day. Can't find a treadmill. Picture of the gym on January 2nd. No one there. Okay, if you're joined a gym like around Christmas time and you're thinking about going tomorrow, don't wear your matchy-matchy workout outfit, okay? That's a dead giveaway that you're a noob, okay? So if you don't want to stick out, just give you a tip there. The intent or the rationale behind New Year's resolutions is good. Who of us wouldn't be better off if we lost some weight, if we had a better diet, if we connected with friends and family more, if we paid off some debt, if we saved some money, if we stopped some bad habit? I mean, we would be better people, and our world would be better if we would achieve or actually achieve the resolutions we set out to make. When we look at Scripture, you don't find a Bible story or a passage on New Year's resolutions, but you do find a couple of passages that talk a little bit about the intent or the idea about creating change or making a change within your life or within my life. A couple of my favorites first comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. When you read the Gospel of Mark, it reads like an action story or an action novel, especially the first few chapters. Jesus is on the go. He's healing and he's teaching and he's casting out demons. The most common word in the book of Mark, at least the first part, is the word "immediately." It's like immediately Jesus is doing this, and immediately he's doing that, and immediately he's doing this, and his following is growing, and his prominence is growing, and he's becoming more and more in demand, if you will. And so this particular event, this particular moment, he has decided to get away from his disciples, and he's gone to an isolated place very early in the morning to pray. And so Peter and the other disciples come and they say, "Everyone is looking for you." Loosely translated, "Where have you been? What are you doing?" And I can imagine, Peter saying, "You got a busy day here, Jesus. You've got some meetings, and you've got some healings, and you've got some exorcisms, and you've got some teaching. You don't have time today to leave us to go out to pray. We got a busy full day in front of us." Peter and the others had an agenda for Jesus. And they wanted to make sure that agenda got fulfilled. And honestly, I think a lot of us, maybe all of us, we have an agenda when it comes to Jesus. And yet for Jesus, the only agenda that mattered for him was the agenda the Father had for him. Because look at Jesus' reply. He says, we got to go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So Jesus gets away from the crowd, spends some time with the Father, and his whole agenda changes. He's like, nope, we're leaving here. We're going somewhere else. As a result of that time with God, something happened. Something different changed his agenda, changed his approach. And the only agenda that mattered for Jesus was the agenda the Father had for him. I feel like though sometimes, especially with resolutions, that we're trying to live out somebody else's agenda for our lives. You know, we make resolutions about relationships or spending time with friends and family because of an agenda someone else has for us. We make resolutions with our weight or with our diet or with our exercise because of a spouse or because of a close friend or because of a parent or a child or someone at work saying, you need to lose some weight or you need to do this or you need to do that. Okay, I'll make the resolution. And the resolution doesn't stick, though, because it's not ours. It's somebody else's, and they're just kind of imposing it on us, something we ought to do. The only agenda that matters for you and for me is the agenda that Jesus has for us. And in order to figure out what that agenda is, in order to figure out whether you and I should make a resolution this year or not, we're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. You're going to have to pull away. As busy as your tomorrow is, or as busy as your week coming up is, pull away, spend some time in prayer, and say, Jesus, what's your agenda for me this year? Another one of my favorite passages about resolutions comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul says this, I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the prize, to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, Paul has accomplished quite a bit in his life. Since his conversion to Jesus, he has planted churches. He's responsible for the spread of the gospel outside of Israel, throughout the Middle East, throughout the Mediterranean Sea area. He's mentored church leaders. He's written several letters that'll make their way into the New Testament. And yet Paul says, I haven't achieved all that I've been called to achieve. And maybe for some of us, 2015 was a banner year. If I were to ask you what your wish for 2016 is, you'd say, I want that same year. I want the same experiences, the same moments, the same stories, the same highlights. And Paul says, I haven't achieved perfection. I want to keep pressing on to what God has for me. And yet maybe for some of us, 2015 was an awful year. A year we never, ever want to experience again. A year we wish we could delete from our memory, from our file. And Paul says to those of us there, he says, forget the past. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forget the past and look forward to what Jesus has for you and for me this year. Rather than trying to figure out what God has for us this year through goals or resolutions, I wanted to provide a different perspective on resolutions and New Year and that type of thing. And so the book the guys won for the game is called One Word That'll Change Your Life. And it really kind of says, it flips the whole idea of New Year's resolutions on its head a little bit and says, we all make resolutions. We all make goals. We all set these things that we should do or should not do around the New Year time. And what the book says is rather than go through that process because it's not working, right? I mean, maybe there's the rare year where you and I accomplish something, but for the most part, it's not working. And what the authors say is just choose a word that encompasses all of those resolutions we typically tend to make. They say the word ought to impact each of these areas within our lives. It ought to impact your spiritual life, your physical life, your mental life, your emotional life, your relational life, and your financial life. And so how do you get that one word? What are some examples of a one-word resolution? How does one go about, you know, choosing this word? Is it possible to choose the wrong word? You know, because there's, I don't know, there's lots of words you could choose from, right? I want to show you an example from Scripture of this principle in play. You can turn to Joshua chapter 1, otherwise I'll have the words on the screen behind me as well. Joshua 1:1 says this, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant." This is a pivotal moment in Israel's history. Moses is the guy, he's probably the best leader Israel had had to this point for sure, maybe their best leader in all of history. And he had taken them from Egyptian slavery and captivity, and he had led them all the way to the precipice of the promised land. And because of some unfortunate events, Moses is prohibited from actually entering the promised land, but he got the people right to the doorstep. But he's dead. Now God is talking to Joshua, his assistant, because Joshua is going to be the one that's going to take the Israelite people into the promised land. And so here's what God says to Joshua in verses 5 and following. "For I'll be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If Joshua were making resolutions like we're making resolutions, he might have this on his resolution list. He might say, "You know what? I got to read more of Moses' stuff. Okay, got to figure out who that guy was. Make sure I'm doing what he says. I got to be in the Word. You know, meditate on it. I better hit the gym. Going to do a lot of hot hand-to-hand combat coming up here. I bet I want to meet with my military leaders more often to kind of make sure that our strategy is okay." But in this passage, we actually see the one-word resolution, the one-word concept in play. The agenda that God has for Joshua and what Joshua most needed in this moment in his life is courage. God says it three times in 4 or 5 verses. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Moses is gone, and it's Joshua's turn to lead the people. He needs courage. When you read the rest of the book of Joshua, when you read the rest of his life, his story, you see courage in play throughout his story. It's going to take courage for Joshua when he brings the army to the city of Jericho. That's the city that's got the wall around it. It's going to take courage when Joshua says, "Hey, military, hey, army, here's how we're going to take that city. We're going to get in a marching band formation, and we're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the 7th day, we're going to do that for 7 times. Who's with me?" It takes courage to even utter the words to that plan, does it not? To even say, "This is what we're going to do." After the fall of Jericho, God says, "Don't take any of the spoils. Don't take any of the resources that you could take once you conquer a fallen area." One guy doesn't listen, Achan. The next time they go out to war, it's a relatively easy battle on paper. They get routed. takes courage for Joshua to say, Achan, what did you do? You cost us these men's lives because of your sin. Later on in the battle with the Amorites, Joshua's going to actually command the sun to stand still, to make time stop, so to speak. That takes courage. Joshua needed courage, and his people around him, his family, his nation, needed him to have courage for them to do what God wanted them to do. Well, to give us a little more perspective on this one word idea and how it can maybe impact our lives, I want to invite a couple of friends to the stage here with me this morning. I'd like to invite Jackie McNamara and Christy Schreck to come on up. Jackie is the principal over at Liberty Elementary School in Harrisburg, and Christy is the library media specialist over at Cleveland Elementary. Please welcome them as they come. I want to thank you both for joining us here and kind of sharing your story a little bit. Certainly doing this a second time, too. They did this during the 9 o'clock service as well. So first question is to simply share a word, your one word from the past, last year, a few years ago, and talk a little bit about that word. Mike's. It's my second time, too, but...
All right. In 2011, my sister Jody and I and a friend Tanya decided to try this one-word challenge. We had heard about it. I get a weekly devotion from John Gordon, and he's the author of the one-word book. So I chose the word relationships, and a little bit later we'll show you some things that go with that. But relationships was the word that I wanted to work on that first year, and I knew that I needed to work on my relationships personally and professionally, and then also my relationship with my Lord and Savior. And that was the year that we started coming to Hillcrest as well, so that was cool for our family.
One of my favorite words, well, I've only done it two years. This is going to be my third year, and I got the idea from Jackie. She shared it with me. My first word was enough. I think we can all relate to saying that over and over again, where I don't have enough time to get here to there. I don't have enough money to do that right now. I don't have enough family time, alone time. It can go on and on. And so reflecting on what I wanted to have for my one word, I really try to turn things into a positive as much as I can. And one of my friends, who also was doing this word, the one word with us at our school, she was out for a walk with her husband, and she found on a billboard at a church that they were passing by, and it said, gratitude is when what you have is enough. So then I tried to think about all knowing what we had as far as time, finances, enough prayer time, leading our children in their faith journey. Are we doing enough for them? We were able to reflect, or I was able to reflect on that. And like Pastor Brian said, it wasn't something that somebody else had for me. It was something that I had that I wanted to do for myself.
Cool. I think one of the more, maybe mystifying parts of this process is, how did you come up with that word? Were you worried at all about choosing the wrong one? Because there's a lot of good things you could pick. So what did that process look like for you, and how did you kind of focus in? This is the word.
Well, the first thing I did was Google. Inspirational words, a list of inspirational words. That was the first thing I did because I couldn't think of what I wanted to do. And looking, oh, this is a good word. This is a nice word. Oh, I like that word. But none of them were really moving me, or I wasn't feeling it. And one of the things, too, it talks about, and we've talked about this, too, is that your word doesn't always necessarily just come to you.
Right.
You need to pray about it. You need to think about it. You need to find a word that's going to touch all of those aspects of your faith journey, your relationships, your finances, your emotional and physical well-being. And so after Googling and searching, what I did is, being a library media specialist, I reflected on a book that I received years ago. And when I was looking at it, it was called There's No Place Like Hope. And when I looked at the things that I had highlighted in there, one word that I had highlighted over and over again was the word enough. So enough is not a powerful word like courage and strength, but it was powerful for me.
Absolutely.
And what I do every year is a little bit different than that, although I've Googled and, you know, looked at different highlighted words in books as well. But I take a look at my planner. And it used to be the Franklin Covey planner, and now I keep track of those things on my phone. And I color code those to look at what is my personal life and what is my professional life and all those areas that Pastor Brian and Christy talked about as we're looking at those to even go deeper just in your personal life than what about this part or that part. And use that as a challenge of where do I want to go with my word this year. What do I want to do more of? What do I want to do less of? How do I want to challenge myself? So for me, the practice is always looking at how I am currently spending my life. And sometimes it's honestly been February before I've been able to tell Christy or Jody or Tanya, those people that make me accountable, my word. And like this year, I think I knew it in June what it was going to be. So it just depends.
Okay.
And I'm going to add that after you do it the first time, then you're more aware and conscious of it, and then your words come easier for you each consecutive
year. Well, you both are also doing it with other people as well, so I think that community piece of it too probably helps as well. Like, oh, I see that. And
there's the accountability.
Right.
When you share your word, some people choose to be private about their word, and people around them don't know what their word is, and some people choose to share it. So then you have people, like my friend that was walking and saw my word and took a picture of it and shared it with me. So that's good to have somebody holding you to that.
Great. The thing about the Joshua story is that not only did he need the courage, but everyone in his life needed him to have courage, you know, at that moment. Talk a little bit about the impact your word had on those closest to you, your family, your friends, your coworkers. I'm sure they, you know, they didn't come up to you and say, "Oh, is your word this?" Because I really, you know, see that. But talk a little bit about maybe that season of life, how that impacted you and how that had an impact on them as well.
My word a few years ago was the word acceptance, and that happened to be the year that I had decided to leave the Sioux Falls School District, a district I had worked in and loved for 16 years, and to move to Harrisburg, which is our home district. And I knew that there were going to be lots of changes in the people in my life, the procedures, the processes, all of that. So I chose that word acceptance. And as Pastor Brian said, I can't tell you that the new staff I worked with knew that, wow, her word's acceptance, or that my family did. But it was a way to for me to focus on all the newness, if you will, or the new things in my life. So acceptance was the word.
And for me, what was the question again? I was so intent in listening to what she was saying.
That's awesome. So drawn in. Just the impact your word had on those around you.
Oh, that's probably why I forgot it, because the people around me probably didn't know too much about my word. But when I asked to, my husband to reflect on it, I said, you know, my word was enough. You know, did you see that and over the last year? And he's like, yeah, not really. So then I said, when we were, the financial part, my feeling was we never have enough money. How is this happening? You know, at the end of the month, where is our money going? So we sat down and we did a detailed budget and figured it out. And we did have enough money. We were just not putting it the right way. So that was a good exercise for us to go through together. And then you could see, oh, yeah, okay, I get that. And for my kids, they weren't doing enough cleaning around the house and enough homework. And, no, I'm kidding. But when we look back on leading them in their faith journey, this is something I didn't share earlier, but when Pastor Doug did the commercial on the radio a couple years ago, it's like the commercial was, if we were gone, would you know we were missing? If Jesus were on this earth and he was gone, would you know where he was missing? Yes, you would notice that. So then Hillcrest started to do more things and become more involved in the community. So that's when we as a family started visiting Hillcrest too to build that faith, because we weren't getting enough of that faith in our family life.
Very cool. Thank you. One of the things that the book talks about is, you know, what gets our attention gets our focus, and what gets our focus we tend to get done. And so you have brought some, you know, some creative elements with the word. The author suggests, you know, once you come up with that word, to create something or pick something that's going to be a reminder for you. I don't have a creative bone in my body, but I like the idea behind that, to say, you know, here's your word. And so share with us what you brought with us today that kind of helped you without those words.
Well, the first year I told you that my word was relationships, and because my sister and I did this together, she had a plaque made for me that says relationships in 2011, so that hung in my kitchen, and it was just a constant reminder to me about relationships. And I know she put hers on her treadmill, so there it was, right in front of her, you know, every time she was hitting the treadmill. A couple years ago, I told you my word was acceptance. One of my coworkers, the art teacher that I work with, I told him what each of my words had been through the years. So in my kitchen, on a little shelf there, I have all the words I've done since 2011. They're just little, but there they are as a reminder. And again, I didn't do the artwork. That's not me. I don't have any artistic ability, but he helped me out. And Christy knew that my word this year was joy. And I'm not sure if you can see this or not, but it's a book, and the pages are folded so that it says joy in it. So it's just fun to see. I saw a license plate after we got together this week that said rejoice, and obviously that's part of the word joy as well. When you're looking for it, the sign that you walk by, it's just fun to see how many reminders that you get with the word. My first year at Liberty Elementary, I gave every staff member a puzzle piece on tag board, and then they did the one word, what their goal was. Often in education, our world doesn't run from January to December, but August to May. So that August, we picked a word and decorated our puzzle piece, and then as all those puzzle pieces fit together in the lobby of our school, we made the Liberty, you know, building the school. So it was a visual reminder for any of our community that was in, our parents, whoever it was. Awesome. And on Wednesday, when we go back to school, we're going to do canvas and cocoa, and the same idea, and we're going to, we bought canvases for everybody starting the year with a clean slate, and then we're going to drink some cocoa, and some people are going to paint their words. I'm going to help pour cocoa while they do that, but I'm going to, but anyway.
Sounds like you got a guy, so you're good to go.
Okay, at our school, when we started to do the word, we did a book club. So we had the book, and then we could all read it, and we could talk about it so that we were all on the same page. Now we have that book in our library, so as our new staff come on, we can introduce that to them, and they can have it. We also did, this is my word from this past year, and it's overcome. And we, as a staff, got together after school, and we painted our one word on the canvas. And I'm not an excellent painter either, but I did pull this off. And my neighbor at school, she took the white canvas and used black paint and printed her word across it. And that was it. That was all she had. And that works just fine. So we have these in our offices. We have them in our classrooms. We have them at home, wherever they felt comfortable having it. And then the secretary at our school this year got these big jumbo clothespins, and then she found quotes for all of our words that our staff had, because we put all of our words together so we can help give each other reminders, send an email or a text. And so mine says, I am not what I have done, I am what I have overcome. And so I have this on my computer so I can have that reminder every day. And after our first year of doing it, we have a talented kindergarten teacher who put this together for us, but on each one of these petals is one of our staff members' words. So all of our words made this beautiful flower for 2014, and I have this on display in our library too, so we can all have that reminder of where we've come and where we want to go and what kind of people we want to be.
So cool. Well, thank you both so much. Anything else either of you would like to add?
My word for 2016 is patience, and as some of you may or may not know, I'm retiring at the end of this school year, and I have been in a school setting for 49 years. It's a long time. All I know is a school schedule and a calendar and how it works. So I will work after I retire, and I don't know what that season of my life will look like. So I would ask my Hillcrest family to join me in praying that I would have patience. I know there's lots of opportunities to volunteer, but I want to do the right one. Right. I want to find the right job that fits for Todd and I. And so my word is patience, and that I'd have patience worth my word patience. It can be tough.
And my word for 2016 is perspective. I just finished reading Andy Andrews' book called The Noticer, And there is a man named Jones in there who notices things other people don't. And he said it's all about perspective. So hopefully trying to get that positive spin, the glass is half full instead of half empty in all of those areas that we talked about.
Very cool. Thank you both so much. Give them a hand. They'll be around for a little bit after service, too, if you're interested to maybe chat with them a little bit or just kind of hear more of their story. But some homework as we conclude this morning. In your soul provider, if you turn to page 6, you do see in the message notes there, you do see some examples of some words, just, again, kind of what Christy said, a quick Google search for some of those words. And then each day this week leads you, you know, roughly, but leads you start to finish to be able to land on your word. And so, you know, tomorrow kind of mapping out a plan for the week as to when you're going to pull away and spend some time with God and doing this. You know, Tuesday you kind of jot down some words, and by the time you get to Thursday, there's an area for you right there on that blank for you to kind of write down one word. And I don't think you can pick the wrong word. Nothing bad about resolutions and the goals that we typically set. I mean, go ahead and lose your weight and eat better and save your money and pay your debts and that kind of thing. But the world needs more people living out the words that, like, that were on that painting. We need more people of courage and more people of patience and more people with perspective. And more people of joy, and more people of, you know, whatever your word is. And so really, you know, challenging you to take some time this week to kind of land on that. By the time you get to Friday, if you made it that far, you can email myself. We'll have something on Facebook as well for you to post your word. If we get enough words from you, we might be able to do some creative things, you know, stuff like the gals kind of shared. I'll have to have some help with that because mine would just be black paint on white on white canvas. As well. But really take some time this week to maybe consider what that word is for you. What, you know, when you look at God's agenda for your life, what's the word that best describes his agenda for you in this season? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And I really thank you for Jackie and for Christy for their courage and their vulnerability to share their words, their stories. Father, I pray that we would glean from what you have done in their lives to this point. We thank you so much for their willingness to share with us today. Father, when we look at this coming week, I pray for each of us that we would have time that we could pull away to spend with you, to focus on what it is you have for us this year. To be able to put that into a word that seeks to encompass all that we are, to seek to live that out. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your love that you extend to us through your Son, Jesus. I thank you so much for this time and for this place. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. A couple of housekeeping things for you real quick. We have some poinsettias around the facility. If you're interested in taking one of those home, please do. Next week for Pastor's Choice, Pastor Doug is talking about Christianity and Islam. Off to be good. Come on out. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.